The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
God, thank you so much for your amazing and wonderful, never-ending love. Thank you, God, that you chose to love us even before any of us even knew who you were. You freely extend your love to anyone who would receive it. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. As we look into your word this morning, I pray that you open up our hearts and minds to see the truth that lies within these words and how you want us to apply it to our life as followers of you. God, I pray if there's somebody here this morning who doesn't truly know you, that their hearts even now would begin to open up to the move of your Holy Spirit in their life. In your name we pray. Amen. Today we're celebrating new life and the life of those who were baptized. We're celebrating 6 years of a new church plant being established here in the Ashland community. And we're also celebrating the one-year birthday anniversary of Hope for Nova. And again, don't leave today. I don't want to have to take 300 cupcakes out of here. We want you to grab a cupcake before you leave. What is this all about? Why are we doing this? We're doing this because God first loved us. And out of his love for us, he calls us to follow him and to love him and love others as his love flows through us to the lands and nations and neighborhoods where he has planted us. This morning, we're looking at 1 John chapter 4. And I hope that as you follow along, these words will touch your heart and touch your life and help you to see that God has had a mission from day one. And his mission is to be fulfilled in the lives of you and me gathered together in what is called the body of Christ, the church. The church is not a building on a corner somewhere. It's the people empowered by the Spirit of God on the mission of God to love the people that God has created who do not yet know him. That is what you and I are called to do. And we want to boldly be able to say from our rooftops, from our cubicles at work, from the desks that we sit in at school, that love lives here. It lives in our lives because God has revealed himself to us and lives in us. And God's love wants to pour through us to reach those who he has around us. In 1 John chapter 4, these words are here for us to read, verse 7 and following. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from who? From God." The first truth that it may sound very basic and very fundamental, but it's a truth that we all have to realize is that God, aren't I a great artist? That's God. God is for us. Okay? We need to know this and understand this, that God is not some distant, removed being that created us and it's just gone about doing other things. God is for us. He loves us. And that can be sometimes hard to fathom. I can't see God. I can't feel God, some say. But I want you to know that the scriptures are clear that God is for us. In verse 7, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another for this reason. Love comes from God." But there's even more depth to this truth. It says, "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is" what? Love. God is love. Love is not just something God does. It is who he is. Everything that we know about love comes from God because God is love. Some religions believe in a God of wrath, a God of fury, a God who is distant and removed. But the scriptures tell us, God reveals his truth to us about who he is in these pages. It has been often said that these are his love letters to us. God is love. God loves you. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or how far you feel like you are from God, the first truth you need to know this morning is that love is from God because God is love and God loves you. He is for you. let's take it a next step. God is not only for us, but God wants to be with us. That's God, in case you didn't know. And that's us. And God wants to be with us. So why the sad face? The scriptures tell us in John chapter 1 that God came to be with us. And men loved our deeds. We loved what we did. And we wanted to keep our deeds, the things that we knew would break the heart of God and disappoint God. We loved our deeds so much that we preferred the darkness instead of the light. And so we rejected God. God came to be with us. The scriptures say that God is for us and God came to be with us. It says this, in the Old Testament on, God was with, first of all, Adam and Eve in the garden. He was with them. He walked with them. Even when their heart was broken, he broke their heart. They broke his heart. They went and hid, but God was still there. God was with Moses through the burning bush and speaking to Moses, saying, deliver my people. God was with Joshua as he led the people into the promised land. God was with Daniel in the lion's den. God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the pit of fiery furnace. God has constantly been a pursuing God who is not only for us, but has decided and desired to be with us. God is a pursuing God. You can't outrun God. God is chasing after you. God wants you to know that He is for you and that He loves you. It goes even a step beyond that. God not only is for us and wants to be with us, but according to John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. In 1 John 4, the passage we're in this morning, it says this in verse 9. It says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God and God was like, oh, they love me so much, I guess I'll go and be with them. It wasn't about that at all. It wasn't that we loved God. It was that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. God, through the life of Jesus Christ, didn't want to just be with us. God became one of us. God came down. The scriptures tell us that He took on flesh. First, in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, the fourth book of the New Testament, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, it says, God became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The way the Message version says it is that God took on flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. God came to be with us. The scriptures tell us that He stepped out of heaven and He lowered Himself to the place of even a servant, taking on even death, death of a cross, so that we might come to know Him. He became one of us. God, Holy of Holies, becoming flesh. In Corinthians 2 verse 9 it says, all the fullness of God dwells fully in the body of Jesus Christ. How can this be? God becoming a man, God becoming one of us. He did it because He loved us. He didn't come as a ruling king. He doesn't come as a powerful emperor. He came as a lowly child born in a manger, raised as the son of a carpenter, despised and rejected, because He wanted to be with us. Because He wanted to love us. There are four words for love in the Bible. Storge is the love of family. Phileo is the love of friends. Like you might love your neighbor or a best friend. Eros is the love of a spouse or a special somebody in your life. How many of you are sitting with your special someone? I see you. And then there is the love that is called agape. Agape. Unconditional love. A love that is not to be earned. A love that is not based on how much you love me in return. It's a love that God has for us that while we were even sinners, God loved us. While we were His enemies and distant from Him, God loved us. It is this love that drove Him to come and to become one of us. Giving up everything. The Pharisees heard about this kind of love. Sure, the God of all creation, the God of heavens and earth, the God of the universe, the God that we worship is all loving. It's all right, He can love everyone. But what really got under the Pharisees' skins is when Jesus came down and did not just love us, but He decided to like us. What do I mean by that? You know, Jesus' accusations that were thrown at Him were He is being a friend of sinners. You know, it's godlike for Him to be up and removed and have this godlike love for everyone, but Jesus demonstrated His love for us by becoming a friend of sinners. By hanging out with the lowest of the low, by hanging out with the tax collectors, those who had betrayed their own people and were stealing from them and lining their own pockets while paying Caesar. He came to show those who were stuck in a life of crime and evilness and prostitution, He came to show them what true love looked like, what true friendship looked like. God became one of us, taking on our flesh and walking the same kind of life that we walk today. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. But it goes even further. Because it's not enough for us to simply know that God is there and that He's for us. That's not enough. It doesn't change us. It doesn't draw us to any particular meaning in life. It's not enough for us to know that God is simply for us. And it's not enough to know that He was with us. God was with the people of God for ages and they kept turning their back on Him. It's not enough just to know God's there. And it's not enough for us to simply know, okay, God came down and He took on flesh and He now lives in my neighborhood and He wants to be with me. It's not enough. God wants to go even deeper with us. God wants to be in us. It says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God wants to not just be with us, He wants to be in us. The very fact that God wants to be with us means that we get to become one with Him. The DNA that makes up who Jesus is transferred into our lives. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it talks about how He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. And yet to any who would believe in Him, they would be given the right to become children of God. When I look out in the crowd and I see my daughter Jordan over here, if you were to take a blood sample of hers and a blood sample of mine, you would find similar DNA. Is that correct? No, I'm not asking you if that's correct. I'm asking if the science of what I'm saying is correct, right? We share the same DNA? Similar? Okay. Just want to get that straight. In the same way, God came not just to be for us, not just to be with us, not just to like us, but God wants to live through us. God wants to embody us with the power and presence of His Holy Spirit in our life, putting His DNA inside us and transforming us and making us new creations. It's not enough for you just to know that there is a God out there. It's not enough for you to like that there's a God out there. It's not enough for you to know that God loves me. God wants to be in you. And my question to you this morning at this point is, have you ever opened up your life to truly allow God to come inside of who you are? This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit. Do you know if you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you? We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God will live in him. If you believe that God sent Jesus to be your Savior, if you believe in your heart that He died on a cross to forgive you of your sins, if you've confessed that you're a sinner and in need of Him as a Savior and call out to Him as Lord, you will be saved. You will be transformed in that moment. Have you done that? God wants to be in us. But that's not the end of the story. If you see this picture up here, you see some streets with some homes. God wants to be in us so He can be in them. So He can live through us to reach those who do not yet know Him. This is the purpose behind our mission. If you look at the verse I skipped, verse 11 and following, it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He answered by saying, well, the first and greatest commandment is to love God with everything you have, with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Everything about you, fall in love with Him. Give it all to Him. Love Him. And the second greatest commandment is what? To love one another. In verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Here's the beauty of verse 12. Look at this. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Statistics show that the nation that we live in is falling further and further from God. Fewer and fewer people are claiming that they believe in the God of the Bible. Fewer and fewer people are claiming that they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. In Acts chapter 17, Paul made it clear to those who were standing, to all of you in this room, I want you to know that you live in this place because God put you here. He determined the time you would live and the boundaries of the place where you would live. So that although there may be people around you who think they're far from God, the hope and prayer is that they will seek God and find Him because He is not far from any one of us. Do you guys know what this picture is? Some of you got it. Prince William County. Prince William County is the county where most of us live. If you came across county lines, we accept you anyway. First hour, they had the challenge. One guy lives way up here all by himself. But this is the land where God has called us to live. Not just to live. Just like the captives in Israel that we studied back in October. Who were taken out of Israel to live in the land of Babylon. God said, pay attention. The land where you have been brought by me. The land where I carried you into captivity. here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to beg me to remove you from there. I don't want you to pray over and over again that somehow I would deliver you. Instead, I want you to live where I have carried you. Why? Because I want you to build houses there. I want you to plant gardens there. I want you to allow your sons and daughters to grow up and marry others there. And I want you to pray for the city where I have sent you and seek its peace and prosperity. For in its peace and prosperity, you will find your peace and prosperity. God's plan from the beginning has been to love us so that he can love through us, to love those who he does not yet, who they don't yet know him. You get what I'm saying? God so loved the world. That includes Prince William County. It includes Ashland. It includes Dale City. It includes Lake Ridge. It includes Haymark. God loved the world. And God's plan to reach the world is sitting right here. God wants to love us so that he can love in us and live in us to love those who he loves, but they don't yet know. As a church, we believe so much in this mission that we are doing all we can to impact the communities where we live. We believe that as Christ became flesh and moved into our neighborhoods, he's calling us to move into these neighborhoods. Last year, on this day, a year ago, we announced to you all a vision that we called Hope for Nova. On the back of your chairs, these aren't just new decorative branded chairs. These have magnets we want you to take. And there's a one-page handout that summarizes our mission. We believe that as God lives in us and wants to move through us, we will help change Northern Virginia. We believe that God wants to reach Northern Virginia, and he wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through you being the best athlete that you can be on your sports team, glorifying God in everything you do. He wants to use you by being the best worker and the having the best cubicle that you have at work, by being the best neighbor that you can be, by being a disciple. As God demonstrated his love for us by saying, I am for you. God wants us to be for the people he's placed around us. Are there some people in your life right now that you're not for, if you're honest? God wants you to be for them. As God decided to be with us, God wants us to be with them. Too many of us, we build churches and church clubs so that we don't have to be with those out there. We'll have our own sports leagues so we don't have to be around those who cuss. Hey, I've been on some Christian sports leagues. I've heard some cussing before. Anyway, God wants us to be with them. He sent us not to pull away, but to be with them. God wants us to become one of them. Not that we would walk in sin, not that we would do the misdeeds that we so easily get tangled up in doing, but that we would be in the world, but not of it. We would come in and meet people where they are at their point of need so that God's love would pass through us and into them. A year ago, we announced this vision in February. By March, I was praying, God, let us move into the neighborhoods. I was visiting a family over at Forest Park Community. And while I was there, there was a house we were aware was a trailer that was for sale. Here's the crazy thing. A good deal on a trailer is like $10,000. I mean, you can get a trailer sometimes. This trailer we had the ability to possibly get for $4,800. I was praying, God, let that trailer be there. By the time I got there, the trailer was already sold to a neighbor. My heart was broken. I'm sitting there in that community just praying, God, why would you close the door on this trailer? And as I was sitting there praying, I saw a realtor walk in front of this house and put a for sale sign up. It's a lot bigger than a trailer. But I turned while in my car and I looked at it and I said, okay, God, I'll settle for that. A month later, we put an offer on that house and they accepted our offer. And that the house I wanted was the first trailer on this street over here. 126, I think. And as I was sitting there at that stop sign at Talo Drive, I prayed that that house would become ours. I came to church, told you about it, and I said, I want the rest of you to come meet me. A bunch of us, about 40 of us, went over there and we prayed in the backyard of that house. And now God's given it to us. Go. Next slide. A month later, we decided to have a housewarming party. We invited the whole neighborhood to come out. We did one of our typical free sales. If you haven't been here long, we basically, every May, instead of doing a stupid yard sale in our own driveway, we take all of our stuff and we bring it to them. And we say, it's all yours, free of charge. We want to meet your needs and take care of you. We've done this in many high and schools around here that have a high population of poverty-stricken families. And we're going to do another one of these type things this May. And over 200 people came and got clothes and coats and clothing. The next month, we held a backyard Bible club, and over 100 kids came from that community. And we shared with them the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Families came, moms and dads who didn't even speak Spanish would just come and hang out with us. We even had the police come and hang out with us a couple nights. Next. The house needed some work. A lot of you helped. We went in and renovated it. We turned some areas into things like a coat closet. We did landscape outside. A lot of us put a lot of hard work into there, getting it ready for a family to move in. In the fall, Dario and Delanus move in, and they become our missionaries in that home to that community. They had already been building relationships, many of us having play dates in that community, going there time and time again, providing food out of the trunks of our cars since we didn't have a permanent food pantry there, meeting needs, offering tutoring. And Dario and Delanus moved in as the missionaries in this home. And they lived there now, building relationships and taking them to the next level. We had interns live there. It wasn't suitable enough for Daryl and Delanus yet, but interns can live anywhere. So we had summer interns live there. And each day, last May, when the buses would come, hundreds of kids would get off the buses. Three buses stop right in front of our house every day during the school year. And kids get out. And kids, instead of running home, were running onto our one-acre piece of land, playing basketball, doing sidewalk chalk, eating popsicles, and hanging out, building relationships. Next. In the fall, we decided this is too big for any one church. We reached out to partner churches, and we said, we want to make this a nonprofit, independent organization. And we filed and became Hope for Nova, Inc. in the fall. Myself, Alex Scaliano, and David Young are our first board members, and we're looking to expand that, and we've invited other churches to get on board. We did a vision day, and pastors and churches from all over the county, all over the state came to check out what it is that we were doing there, what this vision was, and many have been getting behind it and funding it financially. Keep going. Each month, 80 hours of volunteer work go into preparing our clothing closet. About 16 families receive coats, clothing, shoes, dresses, suits. If you've not volunteered yet, you should come check it out. It's amazing. Next, Bible studies have started happening there. The top picture is a group of ladies all only speaking English. Some have given their hearts to Christ. A good number of them went on our women's retreat. Love lives here. Jesus is there. Hearts are being opened to Him. The other picture is a bilingual. We have But we have bilingual Bible studies there. We have Spanish-only Bible studies there. And we believe that God is about to help us start a Sunday morning gathering there as well. Next. These are the facilities, just some of them, where we take care of children. We've got a tutoring center, a homework center where kids can come and they don't have internet in their homes, many of them. They can come print out their homework. Coles Elementary, actually, is coming and partnering with us. What's the next slide? Go back one. Coles Elementary is getting behind us. They have told us that if you take all the kids who are struggling at Coles Elementary, unable to read or falling behind drastically, 90% of those who make up their struggling children come from this community. Coles Elementary wants to come and use our facility to start meeting with children. Our own Kate Dale, is she here? And Bethany Corrigan want to start a preschool reading development program in the summer to help these kids get ahead. They teach Spanish and ESOL classes in the schools, and they want to come and help meet extra needs here through our Hope House. Next. The pool had to go, I'm sorry. We wanted to do baptisms there. It's a lot bigger than this one. But it just was in too much need of repair. An Eagle Scout project came in and took it out. And you know what's really cool? That Bobcat up there, is that what it's called? Anyways, that little tractor. John, how do I say your name wrong? Munoz. He went to rent that trailer. Rent that tractor. And as he was sharing with them all the information and the address, the manager said, "You need a tractor at that address?" And he was like, "Yeah." He was like, "I grew up in that house." Isn't that crazy? He said, "I'm going to donate the tractor." God is just doing some crazy stuff, guys. And now we got a bigger play area. The pool's gone. If you pray, maybe God will bring the pool back. We'll see. Next picture. Several of those families, hundreds of kids came from that community and joined us here for our birthday party for Jesus, where we got to share the love of Christ with them, bless them with presents under their trees and food on their tables. Next. We're starting ESOL classes soon. We're bringing in immigration services so that they can... A lot of these families are undocumented. We're helping them take the right next steps. We're here to meet their needs. Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he didn't just come down and say, "You're all are going to hell. Believe in me." He came down and he fed them. He healed them. He met their needs. And he's still about doing it. And he wants to do it through us. Next slide. Our vision is to keep it going. We're not going to be able to buy a house in every neighborhood. But guess what? Some of you own houses in these neighborhoods. And we want you to consider saying, "God, how do you want our home to become a Hope House? How can you help us be able to say about our home, love lives here? Jesus, this is your home. We want you to reach and transform our neighborhood through us and this home. Help us to be the missionaries you want us to be in Prince William County." Some of you never thought you'd be called to be a missionary, but God is calling you to be a missionary right where you live. And we're still dreaming about what Hope Centers and Communities of Hope can look like, but we've got some really cool ideas forming. And the last page shows us several areas where you can volunteer now. And we'll get you more information about all those soon. So, how do we close all this? How do we wrap this up? Verse 11 and 12 says this. "Dear friends, since God not loved us, but so loved us." God loves us so much. Since He loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. Many of these people, they've not seen God. No one has seen God. But if we love one another, God's love will be made complete in us, and they will see it. And God's love will be made complete in them. Let's pray. Father God, my hope is that you continue to mold us and make us and shape us to be the ambassadors, the sent ones, the missionaries that you've always intended us to be. God, you so freely poured out your love into our lives so that we would in turn love you and love others. Continue to show us, God, what that looks like right here where you've planted us. Right here in Prince William County in Northern Virginia, and eventually to the nations in the world. God, I pray that each of us would begin to allow your Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and our lives. Draw us to ask you, God, how can we become more available so that you can use us, God? So that we can declare boldly that we know you and we know your love, and your love lives here. It lives in our hearts. It lives in our lives. It lives in our homes. Your mission is amazing, and you call us to simply follow you and allow you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to empower us to become the transformed vessels that are needed to bring your love to those who are lost in this world. God, as we as Hope Hill Church celebrate our sixth year, we know there are many years to come and greater things are yet to come. As Hope for Nova begins to continue to grow and expand, and other churches, brothers and sisters in Christ, and other congregations, as they begin to link arms with us, as the disciples initially called out to their partners in other boats, God, as they all responded and as we respond, each boat became so full that they all began to sink. And God, in the same way, the places we gather, my hope and my prayer, and I know that as we link arms and work together, we all will become so full of people who are being transformed by you. So God, I pray that as we look at our hearts and our lives, that we would accept your call to surrender, to be vessels of love, to be your missionaries, your sent ones, to those who you've placed right around us. We don't have to sail across the sea or fly a plane to another land. You've called us to the mission field right in our backyards. Help us, Lord Jesus, to respond to that call. We normally close our services with a time of communion, reflecting on what Christ did for us. But this morning, I want us to do it a little different. As you sit here and ponder what it is that Christ is calling you to do and how he wants to love through you to reach those he's placed around you, if you are ready to surrender to him completely and say, God, I want you to use me, I want you to use our home, then we invite you, as our first worship hour already did, to come up and to take one of these hearts and to come over to our map and place it near the area where you live as a symbol that love lives here. It lives in my home. It lives in my heart. It lives in the place where I work and study and shop. And I want your love to reach those you've placed around me. As you feel led, I invite you to come up to take time to place your heart on this map as a symbol that love lives here. Father God, I also pray right now for those who may be in this room who have never given their heart to you, that right here, right now, they would accept your love and forgiveness into their life. No matter how broken they feel or how far off from you they think they are, God, help us to realize that you are a loving God that is for them, with them. You've become one of them and you now want to live in them. Help them to open up their hearts and lives to receive your love and your forgiveness and be made new right now. We ask these words in the power of your Holy Spirit. Come now and transform us, I pray. Father God, move among us now, leading us each one step closer to the mission you've called us to. I'm going to stand right over here. If you want to pray with me about anything going on in your life, there's a couple others who want to come up and pray with me and others. I invite you to do so. But the rest, respond now as God leads you. Place your heart in this map where you live. If you've given your heart to Jesus this morning, come on over here to the side and let me know. Respond now, how God leads you.